CliffCentral.com.
I'm delighted to have someone here. He calls himself a professional reminder. You know, we all go through life. We know somewhere deep inside what the right thing is to do, how you can do things better, but we forget, and you need someone like this man, Kofi Ofori-Boateng, to remind us. He says his reminding people daily of the value they bring into the world and helping them live in a way that honors their value in their relationships is a very fine way to spend your time, and I could not agree more. So he's made a career of this. He's an author, a speaker, a teacher, and a coach, as well as a mentor. He focuses on all the things that give value in life. Kofi, it's a pleasure to see you, man. How are you?
It's an absolute pleasure to be here, Gareth. It's an honor.
Can I play a clip of you quickly to let people know what kind of a guy you are? Because you do say controversial things sometimes.
And, yeah, I do.
And sometimes you get people a little riled up. So this is Kofi on a TV show not so long ago.
I'm talking to the men, and I'm not going to beg. I'm just going to talk to the men and just say it like it is, because we need straight talk.
Yeah.
Men need to grow up,
yep,
firstly. And men need to stop being cowards.
Come on.
Secondly, you see a woman walking down the street minding her business. You approach her. Mm. You say everything that you know she would like to hear. Mm. You get her defenses down. Once her defenses are lowered, you then go in there, take what you want, and then you leave. After doing so, you leave and repeat the cycle elsewhere. You do it again. You do it again. You do it again. You do it again. You've scarred a whole bunch of women.
Mm-hmm.
The men who follow you now have to do the work to help heal these women.
Yeah.
And half the time, these women end up destroying these men because they don't know how to believe that they're worthy of love because of what you've done to them.
Mm-hmm.
The children that they bear have to live with the scars that you have inflicted on these women.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the horrible noises that you hear from the interviewers, going, it sounds almost like it couldn't. Some of the noises didn't come from their mouths, but you make so much sense. Like men, and I had to cut that because I want to hear it from you. You know, apropos our situation we're in the world now with Me Too and the way men are. You know, there's this toxic masculinity. We've just recently launched a podcast series about men and their role in the world, their role modeling, the way men can use masculinity in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I just love to hear people like you out there being honest about this stuff because it's not always welcome.
No, it's not.
Right?
It's not, no. I caught a lot of backlash from that. And it's funny because that video went viral. I didn't even expect it to have that kind of impact, but it went viral. Mm-hmm. There was so much... you know, let's say activity that
interest.
Yeah. Interest that was sparked up as a result of that clip. And a lot of guys took offense. You know, they were butthurt, like as I like to say it. That's exactly what it is. Like they were butthurt by it and
how dare you tell them to grow up.
You get what I'm saying. And it's look, like someone needs to say it. We make a lot of excuses. You know, it was interesting because a lot of the guys from like, you know, red pill kind of movements and everything really jumped down my throat about that because they're talking about, yeah, but what about us? What about our situations and so on and so forth? And I'm like, if you're half the men that you claim to be, then, you know, this shouldn't be a tall order for you. You know, you should understand that first off, straight talk is what men do. Then secondly, the truth, any man who's worth his salt as a man can face up to the truth, deal with the truth, and make the necessary changes. But y'all over here whining, complaining about how your feelings are being hurt and everything.
Bunch of little bitches.
Straight up. Straight up.
So. I'm fascinated. I mean, Kofi, I kind of knew of you for a long time before I met you, and you've been doing incredible work. People seem to like what you say. How did it all start for you, though? I mean, where are you from? What's your background? How did you get into this?
Originally, I'm from Ghana, but I've lived in SA for going on 31, 32 years now. And most of this starts, I think, from my calling. I have what some would consider to be a pastoral calling, but I'm more of a teacher, if anything else. So my experience has been a lot of guys do what they do because they don't know any better. And my whole thing is basically to just show them different perspectives and remind them of who they were meant to be and who they're meant to be versus what society may dictate or what their friends, their crews, their boys, their celebrity influencers may say they're supposed to be. Like, for example, if you look at the hip hop world, for example, which is one that I consider myself to be a part of, you know, the whole thing is calling women the B word and degrading them and all that. And for a lot of guys, that's the mindset. That's the paradigm that they choose to adopt. But that's not necessarily the reality. You know, many of them don't understand where that paradigm comes from.
Many of the people who follow that kind of culture are not even empowered enough to be able to look a woman in the eye and treat her as an equal.
Yeah, it's
a lot of them feel inferior.
They feel inferior. Yeah. Like it's a false sense of machismo, bravado, right, whatever you want to call it. And you know that shows in the language. Now, if we could start having real conversations where guys feel safe enough to, you know, admit to their ignorance and seek help in reforming and reshaping their mindsets around women, around manhood, their responsibilities as men, mm-hmm. then we could add a lot more value to society that way.
It does strike me that you are a particularly good communicator. I mean, you have you clearly have the ability to assimilate this information and pass it on and do it in a caring way, because it doesn't come from a nasty place with you, even when you're speaking quite honestly and doing the straight talk that you mentioned earlier. But it had to have also come from good influences in your life.
Almost definitely.
And that's an advantage that a lot of people aren't really willing to admit. It's kind of privilege,
yeah,
right?
It is a privilege.
Like if you had it's bizarre to say this because it shows you how screwed up society is. Mm. But if you actually had a parent or two parents who cared about you, you're privileged.
Yes.
That's the reality. Because most parents are shitheads who raise terrible children, and then those children have emotional problems later on.
Yeah.
And they look at everyone else and go, it's unfair.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's perverted, but essentially, if you had a good start in life, you really are in a very, very enviable position. Now, how did it happen for you? I mean, who were your influences?
My mom and dad, first and foremost. I always like to big up my dad because he was a man in every sense of the word. I mean, he grew up in a traditionally what we would consider now patriarchal home. His father was a polygamist, and he was the first of numerous children. We're talking about 40 something here, like a last count, from his wives alone.
Wow.
So,
surprised he could even remember your name.
Yeah, well, you know, it was crazy.
Which one's he again?
Yeah, like the first one from the first wife, you know, her. He kind of like deviated from the norm in the sense that he went to a Catholic school, and he pursued education. He was an academic. He became a librarian, and he instilled a set of values in us that weren't necessarily practiced within his village, his family. Mm-hmm. And for me, that speaks to his conviction and courage as a man. And as we grew up, he slowly began to, you know, transform. We saw him going from, even though he was raised Catholic, he still had a lot of his traditional beliefs and whatnot. But we saw him slowly changing that. We saw how his treatment of my mom, for example, began to change. The more he began to learn about, you know, equality between the sexes and the role of a man in the family and the
like. Isn't that the sign of an intelligent creature? I mean, you know, an intelligent human being is someone who takes new information and inputs it and uses it to their advantage.
Exactly.
And that doesn't mean you're turning your back on tradition or culture. I mean, in very many ways, your culture and tradition become more important to you when you're informed.
Yeah.
A lot of people in South Africa, I think, and perhaps even the world, I mean, let's cast this net as wide as possible. Mm. They tend to think that it's a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
That what you give up here, you gain there. What you gain there, you have to give up something here.
Yeah.
That's not true, right?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Look, sometimes it's required. And, you know, just speaking about tradition and culture, people need to remember that tradition and culture sometimes stem from one individual doing something different, everybody looking at that and thinking, wow, that's the move. I should try that too.
Even if that person was a bad person and the idea was terrible.
You get what I'm saying. Yeah. So, I mean, it's... Yeah. like you said, an intelligent person not only needs to be able to adapt, but also needs to be able to interrogate the very things that we call culture, tradition, look at what actually works. I mean, you know, we can see some of the things that we do don't yield positive results. They don't yield good fruit, but we still keep doing them. Guys, for example, get married and sleep around. All right. You know, it's not going to end up well. I heard you guys talking this morning about a certain politician being in the soup again because of, you know, certain allegations that have come out about him. Now, if you continue to do the same things and they keep yielding the same fruit, why are you still doing that? Is that a sign of intelligence? I'm not saying that he necessarily did it, but, you know, my whole thinking is there's no smoke without fire.
Yeah.
So
you said something earlier that I thought was very pertinent and interesting and might hit home for a lot of people. You said you get feedback when you do the straight talk stuff and you tell guys, you know, this is where you can improve your life. This is what you've forgotten.
Yeah.
You said that some of them come to you with the feedback, oh, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
But you can change that.
You can change that.
I mean, there are people who've had nothing and they've managed to change things.
Yeah.
There are people who've come out of terrible situations.
Yeah.
Less than nothing.
Yeah.
Where they've actually been, you know, abused and they've had awful, awful lives. And then they manage to put it together again because you can change the world.
Yeah.
If you believe in yourself.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's really the starting point. You want to change the world, change yourself. Because the whole victim mentality is premised on the world does this to me.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing back to the world? And, you know, in order to do anything back to the world, you, first of all, you need to have something to believe in. You need to have something to stand on.
Yeah.
If you yourself are standing on quicksand, you don't have enough balance to, you know, effectively push back against the world and you know, influence the world. So
it's much easier, though, to complain about the world than to fix yourself.
It's a lot easier. But then, I mean, that's not what being a man is about. It's not about chasing the easy route. It's about doing what is necessary. And you know, for a lot of these guys, like, when they start talking about this, I'm like, listen, you know, it's convenient. You're telling me what you want. You're not telling me what you need. You're focused on what is easy right now. When are you going to start doing the hard work? For example, we talk about the lack of respect that women have towards men. And guys don't want to face up to the fact that respect is earned. You know, so it's cool in the workplace where you walk in, you display competence in what you do in order to earn the respect.
Sure.
You get what I'm saying?
But yeah. And even in hip-hop, you hear people talking about disrespect.
Disrespect.
As if they deserve respect off the face of just being there.
You know, like talking about, I'm real. Yeah, like a lot of rappers are real stupid, because like a lot of what you're saying, you know, doesn't add anything of value to society today. They're talking about, yeah, I do this for y'all, I do this for the culture. Which culture are we talking about? Because it's now a culture of, like, maybe entitlement, braggadocio, false machismo. How many women do I sleep with? How irresponsible can I be? I don't know, I'm just keeping it real, kind of nonsense. But, you know, when we're talking about respect amongst men, it basically boils down to what positive contributions do you make towards your community, towards your family, towards your wife, towards your children, towards your society. Yeah. That's where real respect comes from. And if you're going to premise respect on silly little things like how many bars you can spit, yes, in the hip-hop community, you're respected for that. But in society, in a larger context, that's not necessarily one of the key points that we're looking at in order
to... That's not going to save us if there's a zombie apocalypse.
You get what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness, they're coming. Yo, spit some bars real quick. Spit that heat.
Yeah, I suppose men also, you know, because of evolution and the fact that we've got to this point in our development where we now have to actually own up to the mistakes we've made over thousands of years, especially when it comes to respecting and treating women with a level of equality that they deserve.
Mm.
A lot of men are not comfortable with that yet because they don't have a role model for how to interact with women in a productive, positive, a powerful sense, where they're equal partners in something that's much bigger than the two individuals.
Yeah.
So a lot of people struggle with relationships. A lot of men struggle with relationships. What kind of questions do you get often?
Well, I spoke about a calling earlier, and you know, like pastoral/teaching calling, and I usually approach things from a scriptural perspective. Now, people confuse that with a religious perspective, and sure. It's not the same thing. There's certain principles that exist, and depending on the religion that you follow and the kind of church you go to and the religious leaders that you follow, they're probably going to hit you with a whole lot of dogma about relationships.
Right.
But when you look at the actual principles...
And it's usually people who'd never been in a relationship.
Who'd never been in a...
priests, you know, priests who tell you, oh, this is how... You mentioned the Catholic faith your father took on and all the rest.
Yeah.
Catholic priest telling you how to have a relationship.
Relationship. You know, I mean, when me and young Timmy were kind of...
Oh boy!
You know, and it's nothing to laugh at. But I mean, these are some of the people that we're taking counsel from, and you know, like I always say, be very careful who you listen to. Yeah. You know, look at the fruit in their lives. But anyway, like going back to the dogma that a lot of us follow. If you look at scripture, for example, and it talks about how a man is supposed to conduct himself within the context of a relationship. The first thing it tells you is that husbands are supposed to love their wives. And when it breaks down love, it's not talking about a feeling. It's talking about qualities like patience, kindness, temperance, long-suffering, and the like. These are character traits that a man needs to develop, not just within the relationship, but firstly, maybe within his workplace, his engagements with his family, or his interactions with his family, with his friends, and so on and so forth. You're building character. So if you already have this with your friends, with your siblings, with your parents, you can easily transfer these traits into marriage as well, or into a relationship. It's not too much to ask for. The same thing, scripture also talks about the equality of the sexes. It talks about both of you are heirs, co-heirs of the faith, co-heirs of the kingdom, co-heirs of the inheritance, the promise.
Hmm.
Ooh, okay. All right, Cliff. I'm impressed.
But I hope they one day.
So, you know, but then at the same time, in a lot of churches, they're being told that a woman is supposed to submit to a man.
Yeah.
Just
there's
like
a hierarchy.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. They confuse headship with dictatorship. They confuse leadership with tyranny.
Funny. So do so many of our leaders.
That's the problem. Yeah. You know, and if I may, you know, one thing I love about scripture is that it says specifically to the men to live with your women with knowledge and understanding. So in order to have knowledge, you know, you need to study to show yourself approved. And a lot of guys don't want to do the study. They don't want to learn. They're not open to new information that's going to challenge long-held beliefs that most of the time don't serve them. So if you want, you know, a fruitful relationship, an effective, effectual relationship, learn.
Absolutely. But that means you've got to put in work.
You have to put in work. And these guys don't want to do it.
Time and energy.
I mean, perish the thought.
Much better to just stick to what you've been,
you know,
what you've been conditioned to, what propaganda has been put into your head when you were younger.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like Wale told me to twerk, twerk, twerk. So, I mean, hey, you know.
Or my dad just wasn't there and I'll make it up on my own because I don't need that.
You know, even if you make it up on your own, do it from an intelligent place.
Yes, see who has got it right so far, you know?
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So it's very interesting how, like, men are suddenly... Because we talk about how, you know, women have been emancipated and over the years. Women have raised themselves up and kind of faced men head on and taken them on both in the workplace and the family and everywhere else and stood up for themselves.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a layer of male emancipation that needs to take place, where men need to free themselves from the bonds of what the past has done, just as women have.
We do. Look, when I speak, I'm not trying to negate or minimize the pain of men. I'm really not trying to do that. But what I'm trying to say is you can't keep putting plasters over wounds that need, you know, cleaning, that need a proper treatment. Get the help that you need. Face up to the issues, face up to the pain in your life, work through it, and then get to a place where you can now start moving forward. For many, like you said, it's comfortable to stay in that pain. It's easier to stay in that pain.
And you always find someone to sympathize.
You know, it's funny you say that. When the video went viral, it was always interesting how the negative guys always congregated in the same, you know, groups and, like, you know, threads. It's like
they would all support each other. Like,
you get what I'm saying? So, like, it's like
a knitting club.
Pretty much like that. You know, like, it's like, oh, positive comment, negative comment. Okay, this is where I'm supposed to be at. Yeah, this dude's talking a whole lot of trash. Uh-huh. And, you know, like, they feed off each other. Now, if that's what you're going to plug into, you can't grow.
No.
You really can't grow. And that's, I think that's my biggest frustration.
You've written a couple of books. You wrote a terrific book called Notes to My Sister, Let Him Serve You.
Yeah.
And that is increasingly popular. It's led to you becoming a much sought-after speaker on television and radio and everywhere else.
Yeah.
And in the book, you kind of give perspective on how a man is supposed to serve the woman in his life when he's been permitted to do so by her. It sounds like there's a lot of permissions that are just taken for granted by people.
Yeah, a lot. So on the one hand...
And by serve, you do not mean subservient.
No, yeah. No. I think...
I'm going to explain that to people.
Yeah, at length.
All right, imagine I'm an idiot. Talk to me like I'm a complete idiot. Explain to me how that works.
Well, that's going
to
be a stretch.
trust me, I can dumb down. Go on.
Okay, so basically, let's start with submission. Submission basically speaks to a yielding to or... almost like a giving into a mission or a vision or a shared goal.
Right.
Now, what a lot of guys say or think is that a woman is just supposed to submit to him as an individual. That's not necessarily the case. What are you bringing to the table that is going to make her feel comfortable enough to say, okay, fine, what I'm going to achieve with you, what I'm going to gain from being with you, warrants me trusting you enough to say, I'll follow you. Leadership only happens when someone feels confident enough in who you are, your strength, and what you have to offer, enough of them to follow you. And many guys are missing that. So that's submission. Now, subservience basically is when you're expecting somebody to serve you from a position of inferiority almost. Uh-huh. So now you're coming in and saying, because I am male, I automatically assume that you're weaker. I automatically assume that I'm smarter and you're supposed to do as I say. That is the wrong premise because, like I said earlier, women are equal to men. The reason why women are asked to submit to men is not necessarily because men are better or men are stronger or superior or smarter. It's basically a case of there needs to be one person who takes on the responsibility of sort of carrying...
You see, people get very uncomfortable with this stuff.
Yes.
It sounds to me like it only goes one way if I'm not listening to you carefully.
Yes.
But the fact is that we're equal, but we're different.
Thank you very much.
And for some people, that's too difficult to understand.
Yeah.
It's like saying, well, you know, we got two apples here, and the one is red and the one is green.
Yeah.
And they're equal.
Yeah.
They're equal apples.
Yeah.
But the one is red and red, they're different.
And they taste different.
Taste different too. Yeah. Mm. Some people prefer the green apple. Some people prefer the red apple.
Yeah.
The red apple might be shinier. The green apple might look a little more boring.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, that you know, there's something that you get from both of them.
Yes.
But they're not the same.
They're not the same.
People they mistake equality of opportunity sometimes for equality of outcome as well, right? There are some things that women are much better at than men. Some things men are much better at than women.
Oh, I see you've been following Jordan Peterson.
Well, isn't this true?
It is true. And I agree with him 100%. The thing is, you know, and just going back to submission quickly, you know, it's funny because it's usually religious people that will throw up the whole thing of, a woman needs to submit to a man. What they also miss is the fact that it says, submit ye therefore one unto the other. So submission goes both ways. Like you said, equal but different. There's certain things that she's going to excel in that you need to submit to her leadership
on.
And vice versa. But if you don't bring anything to the table, she cannot submit to that.
Did your sister ever read this book?
My younger sister? No. Like, that's like
you wrote it for her, and she didn't even have the decency to read it.
Well, like basically, you know, like I was being black about it. No, sure. My sister.
You know, I got you. Your actual sister couldn't be bothered to read.
She could not be bothered.
And you've spoken to women and men, obviously, because the conversation also has to go both ways. There are things about men that women don't understand.
Yeah.
There are things about how competitive we are, how aggression can be used as a good thing.
Yes.
How the fact that you don't want a weak man, and you don't want a man who's not confident and, no. and strong. And no. Those are the things that attract us to each other, yes. right?
Yeah. You know, I did a video not too long ago where I was saying that violence serves a purpose. And in the case where a woman's safety is being threatened, she wants a man who can step up, for example,
right.
and exact violence
protect
if necessary. Protect the children, protect her.
A flood, you know.
You get what I'm
swim
saying?
Swim with everybody on their backs. You know what yes. I'm talking about. There's stuff that you need a strong man for.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you understand the purpose of your strength and understand the purpose of your maleness and your masculinity, then yeah. you will use those intelligently within the proper context. But if you don't have that understanding, then you will always abuse it. You will think that, you know, you asserting dominance on a woman is a form of strength and a show of power. It's actually a show of weakness. Mm-hmm. You know, and the funny thing is for a lot of these guys, when they face off with other men, they're quick to back down because they understand that a beatdown is imminent. You get what I'm saying? But like when it comes to a woman, now all of a sudden you're the tough guy.
And it's so easy because, I mean, really, a lot of women are not going to be able to beat you back.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of men are so brave and so fearless when it comes to being abusive to a woman, but you put them in a room with a bigger, stronger man than them, and they're suddenly a little pussy.
Sometimes not even a bigger, stronger man. I mean, like, you know, like I know some small guys who would tear a guy my size up.
Sure.
You know, and they can feel that energy. But, you know, at the end of the day, it boils down to what are you doing with that strength? What are you doing with your power? If you're abusing it, you seriously can't call yourself a man, because when you're put around other men, we see you shrink into the corner, and your energy tells us a lot about who you are. You don't belong here. You still have a lot of work to do on yourself in order to fit inside this kind of circle. So my admonition, my encouragement to men is, you know, do that work. Get to that place where you use your power, where you use your strength, where you use your knowledge, your understanding, your wisdom in a way that serves not just your wife, not just your woman, not just your children, but your community as well. Every single thing you do has an impact on how other men are perceived. And if you abuse that power, then you really have no right to come and complain about what, you know, the perceptions and perspectives that your ignorance and your weakness have created.
I think that's a very good piece of advice for the whole of South Africa, because we know we're dealing with these things on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
And there are loads and loads of things that we should be very embarrassed about that are going on in South African society.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have to do with this very thing that you're addressing now.
Yeah.
So, you're doing a lot of talks. Is there a lot of social media we can follow you on?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, @officialKOB. I'm on Facebook, Kofi Ofori Boateng. Twitter, @KofiBoatengLive. I have a talk coming up on the 13th, I think it is, of October in mm-hmm. Pretoria, The Lioness.
Very nice.
We're talking about relationships. I'm going to be at the Men to Men conference in Empress Palace. I believe that's going to be early November.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got a busy schedule, man.
We're getting there.
Kofi, very nice to meet you, sir, and thank you for coming to share your thoughts with us this morning. Kofi Ofori Boateng, and he's an author, relationship coach. You can find him on Instagram and wherever people want to learn.
Correct.
Very nice. Nice to meet you. Thank you so much.
Honor's mine. CliffCentral.com.